Welcome to OncoPharm. I'm your host, John Bizarra. I'm a professor of pharmacy practice here at the supporting sponsor of OncoPharm, ETSU's Bill Gatt College of Pharmacy. Today, we're talking about here on the Ides of March almost here, 14th of March, the colon cancer screening wars, which there are two articles published in this week's New England Journal of Medicine about some new tests for colon cancer screening. And when I thought of colon cancer screening wars, that came to me because one of my favorite Billy Joel songs of all time is We Didn't Start the Fire, which has a line, rock and roller, comma, cola wars. Rock and roller, cola wars. Which to me, it just sounded like colon cancer screening wars, which is how I got to this, the idea, this topic and this title, because we have a next generation stool DNA test, which there already is a stool DNA test on the market in Cologuard. This looks to be the same company, same primary author in the first Cologuard study, looking at the sensitivity of this next generation stool DNA test. And then there is, for the first time that I have seen, and I'm sure there have been some earlier studies, a cell-free DNA blood test for screening for colon cancer. And we'll go through the pros and cons of these approaches, but the reason I'm talking screening wars is that in both these studies, the reference standard, right, this is how you do if you're measuring sensitivity or specificity, which these studies do, you need your gold standard. And the gold standard is colonoscopy, because you can see the colon cancer, one. You can see precancerous lesions, two, which is really important for colon cancer, because there can be a period of years during which this precancerous lesion progresses into a cancerous lesion, and the cancerous lesion could then metastasize and kill you. The precancerous lesion is not going to until it turns into a cancerous lesion. So you can find cancer, you can find precancer, and then with a colonoscopy, you can actually remove the precancerous lesion or the lesion as well to get your either your resection of the disease and get the diagnosis as well. So colonoscopy is, you know, I think in most people's eyes, the gold standard for colon cancer screening, but there are certainly other validated ways to screen for colon cancer. And one is the very simple fecal occult blood test, where you're looking for a chemical reaction in the presence of blood. A lot of false positives with that. There's the fecal immunohistochemical test, where you're looking at antibody to blood, a little bit better than the hemocult. And we have our stool DNA test, where you defecate in a box, put it in the mail, and it's looking for DNA that is being shed from cancer cells in your colon that are specific DNA to colon cancer that is not specific to normal intestinal cells. And then you have a sigmoidoscopy, where you take a scope up to the sigmoid colon, which is just part of the colon, and then you have the colonoscopy, where you look at the entire colon. So I'm going to start with the next generation stool DNA test. And it's next generation because they're trying to be more sensitive. And I've actually pulled the paper from 9 years ago, which with the same first author, Thomas Imperiali, from the Reconstruct Institute at IU in Indianapolis. And in both of these, we have a sensitivity of colon cancer, these two stool DNA tests, of 92% and 93.9% respectively, meaning that the stool DNA test, I'm just gonna look at the next generation one, found 92 cancers with stool DNA testing. The colonoscopy found 98 cancers. So 92 divided by 98 gets you your sensitivity of 93.9%, meaning if the cancer's there, we'll find it. In most cases, 90%+. Now, again, colonoscopy doesn't just identify colon cancer, it identifies pre-colon cancer, these precancerous conditions, what they're calling advanced precancerous lesions. Now, the next generation stool DNA had a sensitivity of 43.4%, and of course, colonoscopy, as the gold standard, is 100%. That's why it's the gold standard. So 931 precancerous lesions identified with stool DNA compared to 2,144 with the colonoscopy. So that's the stool DNA. Pretty sensitive at detecting colon cancer, but less sensitive at detecting the precancerous lesions that, again, the colonoscopy, they go in, the GI folks remove it, okay? So you can start to see why maybe I'm calling this colon cancer screening wars because the gastroenterology folks do a lot of procedures with colonoscopies, and some of those are for certainly some of them, or someone did a stool DNA test that was positive, then they get the colonoscopy to remove the cancer and get the diagnosis. But many of them are screening, and if everyone moved to a non-colonoscopy screening route, the volume at these GI clinics would go down quite a bit. All right, so it's important to look at this, I think carefully. So this brings us to our blood-based, the cell-free DNA blood test. Now, one of the very first things the authors point out, and this is Chung and colleagues in this week's New England Journal of Medicine, one of the first things they point out, it's like paragraph two, is that the rate of colon cancer screening in the United States in the eligible population is 59%, which they get from the American Cancer Society's yearly report they put out on like the state of cancer. So 59%, so let's say 6 out of 10 people eligible for colon cancer screen, so age 45 and up for average risk folks, are getting screened, which means 4 of 10 are not, okay? And a big reason people don't get colonoscopy screenings is maybe they don't have insurance, they don't want to take the time off work, they're afraid of the medicine they're going to get to put them under, they're afraid of what they're going to say in front of their spouse after they get their colonoscopy to the nurses or the doctors, they're afraid of taking the prep and sitting on the toilet for so long. There are a lot of good reasons that people are maybe leery about doing the colonoscopy. And so, a simple blood test is probably going to be more palatable to a lot of folks for colon cancer screening. So I think there's a need for something like this. So let's look at the numbers here. So these are it's a large population of folks in this study. They've got more than 10,000 people. Then they're getting a colonoscopy. And prior to the colonoscopy, they're actually they're taking blood and they're doing this cell-free DNA. And the idea here is that the technology has gotten so good at amplifying very small amounts of DNA that we can detect abnormal DNA sequences in the blood that should not be in the blood that are specific to colon cancer cells, okay? And so the sensitivity of this for any colorectal cancer was 83%. Now that's not as high as the stool DNA, which is above 90%, it's 83%. And then the sensitivity for precancerous lesions was only 13%. So you can see a couple different ways that you could discuss this paper. You could say this is a huge breakthrough in that we can detect colon cancer in folks without having to have a colonoscopy. 83% of the time we can detect colon cancer, which is, you know, that's what it looks like. I will point out, though, that there are only 54 cases of colon cancer detected with the blood test compared to 65 with colonoscopy. So really, the way we should think about this is the sensitivity using a 95% confidence interval is 72 to 90%. That's a pretty wide range there, okay? It could be in the high 70s, very reasonably, the sensitivity of this, and you're missing 25% of colon cancers. And this is stage, if you look at the sensitivity for stage 1, 2, or 3, it's 87.5%. And you know, if you screen for colon cancer and you find a stage 1, that's easily, you know, curable just with resection. If you have a stage 3 colon cancer, it's not as easily curable with resection and adjuvant chemotherapy. So really, ideally, we would screen folks for colon cancer and identify these precancerous lesions, resect them before they even become cancer. And that's why colonoscopy screen and colon cancer screening, when done correctly, in a large population, not only prevents people from dying from colon cancer, but actually decreases the number of cases of colon cancer. So you could argue for these folks, they're not going to get colonoscopy. They're afraid of it. Maybe we should really push more people to get something like this once and if it's FDA approved, because if more people do it, you know, it's a numbers game. If the sensitivity is only 80%, but we get 100% screening, we probably will actually do better as a population at preventing colon cancer and saving people from dying from colon cancer. But if we really push the blood test instead of the colonoscopy and we still stay at 60% screening rate, we're going to miss a lot more colon cancers because this is not a sensitive colonoscopy and it's very insensitive at 13% at detecting those precancerous lesions. And so as pharmacists or healthcare professionals working in oncology, it's important to know this. For colon cancer, certainly as pharmacists, patients come in We know as pharmacists that 50 or recently 45 is the year folks should start to get their screening colonoscopies, and you could see them and ask, are they getting that? And if they're really worried about it, you know, this potential blood test might be an option for them. I kind of think after looking at this, again, not being a public health expert, in that folks will still prioritize colonoscopy-based screening compared to stool DNA, which has been around for a few years, and the cell-free DNA. But as technology gets better, it may be possible that both the stool DNA and the cell-free DNA, the blood test, could continue to get more sensitive. But clearly there's a gap here in detecting these precancerous lesions with DNA-based testing. Although the stool DNA at sensitivity of 40-some percent for those precancerous lesions is better than the blood-based cell-free DNA testing. So colon cancer screening, a very important concept for us to be familiar with, and that's why we're talking about it today. Thank you all for listening. You can follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at PharmDeepNib, and you can follow the podcast on both X and Instagram, as well as Threads at OncoPharmPod. And until I talk to you again, remember, doses matter.